The views and opinions of Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris should not be taken too seriously, especially when they give advice. Do not take Marshall's analogies literally, especially when it comes to Russell Dorsey. The sports thoughts of Rahimi and Harris may change at any time. Remember, it's just sports.
Okay, thanks. Bye. Bye. Bye.
Rahimi and Harris, 10 to 2 on 670 The...
Kelly will drive one in the air to left field. Back goes Fraley. That ball is gone. Ball game is tied. Carson Kelly, a two-run home run. Here's the pitch to Carson. A swing and line drive down the left field line. Fair ball. Cubs win the game. Carson Kelly delivers.
Carson's kind of been battling it offensively. He's been so important for us this year, and he's been such an important presence on both sides of the ball. I'm just happy for him. Like, he was due for this.
We kept fighting. Went down early and then kept fighting little by little. You know, just to be able to get put in that situation is special.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Hello and good morning. Happy Tuesday to you. Happy September. Happy game week. This is Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score. Marshall Harris, Layla Rahimi, and you. We join broadcasting live from the Score's Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. When we have it, breaking news on the Score is brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. Our producers today, Robbie Triano, we got Baby T in the house. Are you even going by your last name, Tyler? Are we just doing Baby T?
You can say Tyler Farringle, a.k.a. Baby T,
right,
or known as Baby T.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I like to talk to people about
name?
These things.
Yeah, you didn't know that?
Wait, I thought it was just Baby T. Oh, my bad.
You thought his first name was Baby?
Yeah,
first name, baby, last name, was T.
Yeah,
T.
Yeah, these
so
are...
He pities the fool.
That's the... Oh, well...
Oh, okay.
I pity the fool.
All right.
I like it, Robbie. Right. I like it. Let's get a little weird. All right, so Baby T Farringle... Just kidding. Baby T, Tyler Farringle, one of our producers as well. Happy to have you in. And we also have Brandon Fryer helping out. You can text us 312-644-6767. You can also call us because we have a question for you. 312-644-6767. And you can join us on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. We are happy to have you as well. And our question is this: what are your objectives for the Bears after seeing the three preseason games, after knowing who's going to be on this team? If you're like Ben Johnson and company, if you're game planning for the Minnesota Vikings on Monday night, you got that extra day too to work with. What are your objectives for this team? I suggested offensive. I suggested defensive. I also want to shout out our video team, by the way, on Twitch, Connor O'Donnell, Jacob Stutz, and Max Curtis. Good morning to all of you and good morning to everybody listening. So, again, the question to everybody, you can call, you can text, you can talk to us on Twitch, you can have a moment with yourself in your heart. Objectives for this Bears team. You want an offense one, you want a defense one. For me, after seeing what we saw out of the first three preseason games, which I actually think were a good sample, you got to kind of roll out, see what you could do. You got to play a Bills team that played their backups. You got to see who you are against a really good, I think, amount of what you can get out of the Chiefs team. Tyson Bagent, best week ever. Congratulations to him. But at the same time, knowing what you now know about this group and this personnel, for me, number one, the objective should be not necessarily 2-minute drill. I need to know what you're doing for that first drive. I need to know what you're going to communicate. We saw a lot of very successful drives happen for the Bears, I think, after first drives because they tried to establish a little bit more of the run game. Is that the identity we're going to see with this team? Not necessarily, but how is one thing building on another? I feel like that's a big part of the Ben Johnson offense. So number one for me, figure out your offensive rhythm for that number one drive. 1A for me offensively is figure out who your left tackle is going to be against Minnesota. Defensively, my objective, I think it's got to be, how much do you want to get home? How much do you want to rush the passer in this first game, trying to figure out how to rattle a rookie quarterback's cage in J.J. McCarthy? So those are my two objectives. What are yours?
So I think we're somewhat aligned because specifically on defense, but on offense, it's very simple. Run the football and run the football well. And I guess you need to know who your left tackle is to do such a thing. But Ben Johnson predicates everything he does in terms of explosive plays, in terms of being an offense that you can't stop, on the fact that, hey, one thing I know you can do is run the football. So the Bears have to be able to run the football at all costs. DeAndre Swift should be a monster. He's on my fantasy team, by the way, because I believe in DeAndre Swift and the Bears offense. I think when you look at Ben Johnson specifically this week, going up against a Brian Flores-led defense, he knows exactly what it is and what it ain't, and the chaos that can ensue. But if you run the football, that solves a lot of problems, because now the defense has to be somewhat on their heels in terms of a pass rush, whatever you want to call it, the chaos that a defensive coordinator like Brian Flores has been known to bring, because, hey, we got to worry about you running the football. Defensively, it's very simple. Make rookie quarterbacks look like rookie quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm. I mean, well, and technically we know that he's not really a rookie. But he basically is, because he's a red shirt, essentially, after what happened with his injury.
Okay, make a red shirt quarterback look like a guy who's never taken an NFL snap in a regular season game.
There it is.
I'll clear it up for you. And when I say that, the Vikings are very good. Their record last year showed us how good they can be. And a lot of that, of course, had to do with taking a quarterback that maybe others had seen as washed and making him whole again. Well, with J.J. McCarthy, there's a blank slate there. And so Dennis Allen's sole job this week is to make the rookie, or excuse me, redshirt freshman quarterback look like a guy who's never taken an NFL snap in a regular season game. If you do that, they should win the game. Two objectives.
That also brings up a good point, by the way. This has been floating around. Ben Baby of ESPN, fellow North Texas alum, Ben asked the question about what labor practice should change in the NFL, and it was said the response he got was, if you've played on a practice squad for two seasons, then you should get a year of real NFL service time. I thought that was a good point. So I feel like that's kind of in the same vein that we're joking about redshirt freshman quarterback J.J. McCarthy. We know what his contract says. That year was taken away from him because of injury. I say all of that, though, to say that he has to be treated that way. This has to be a welcome to the NFL moment if you're the opposing team. I'm sorry that it's a local guy who is on the other side. And yes, he warmed everyone's heart both with his play when he was at Nazareth and when he was playing for Michigan. But unfortunately, in this case, you got to put that away when it comes to trying to see what the Bears are going to do. The most important objective for me is not just what you want to see, what you think is a reasonable, what you want to see out of this team after the first three preseason games. It's also knowing that this isn't a finished product. Is it making an excuse? No. It's just saying your base layer is probably what you're going to be getting right now as you try to figure out what's going to work with this group of personnel. And that's why left tackle is so critical. Was it the only reason the Bears lost the game last year on Monday night in Minnesota? No. But did it show you what your needs were? Yes. And did you address them in a way that you found to be acceptable? When we're still having to ask questions about who that's going to be when the three-person race turned into a four-person race, I don't want it to come down to that. I don't want the success of this team offensively against a Brian Flores defense to come down to that one issue. But unfortunately, I think it's going to play a big factor.
I think you're right. And I think dropping Karen Amagaji into an indoor stadium for his first NFL experience was just a horrible idea, no matter who you ask. And remember, he didn't even start that week knowing he was going to be the starter at left tackle. That's what made that crazy. It's like midweek, they're like, okay, you're going to be the starter.
And I get it from the fact of they thought he had earned it. I get that you like the people you want to bring onto your team. And you say to yourself, this person has done what we need him to do to earn this moment. But that's where the problem lies. What did you need? Because what we saw were two different things.
With him specifically, and we don't even know where Karan Amagaji is going to end up on the depth chart, which kind of speaks to what we're talking about, right?
Yes, absolutely.
That is a scrambled egg situation when you talk about left tackle. But Ben Johnson got paid all the money to be the head coach and the play caller because he's supposed to be able to work around the shortcomings of some of his talent. And remember how much they invested, when you talk about offseason moves and the draft, in that offense. So I don't want to hear any excuses, because you knew what you were doing, Ben Johnson and Ryan Poles. I don't want to hear any excuses. Like, you get there, and now we're here, and now show me something. And your other point was very valid, Layla. Very much a work in progress, as all these NFL teams are, but with a first-year head coach and all new coaching staff and a lot of new parts, they're a little bit further behind than everybody else as far as how much work needs to be done.
This segment where we ask you, if you're the head coach, what are your objectives for this Bears team getting ready for the Vikings, on Raheemi and Harris on the Score, is brought to you by almostfreeteeth.com. Save on dental implants today. Like I said, we want to hear from you, 312-644-6767. You can call us or text us or hang out with us on Twitch. We've actually got a really good list so far. 630, excellent point, no pre-snap penalties. I think, unfortunately, this is an omelet where you're going to have to break some eggs in the beginning, because a complicated offense is going to probably result in that. Also from 630, proper time management. Now I feel like I'm being seen.
They're starving for the basics. 239, number one, offensive competence. And that's such a big umbrella, right?
That's such a high bar.
So, no, but...
Think about the teams who are offensively competent. That eliminates half the league.
They're basing this on the lack of offensive competence they saw in so many moments last year. It goes like this. If we go back to, like, what do you want objectively to have happen? It's offensive competence for the offense. It's make the redshirt freshman quarterback look like a guy who's never taken an NFL snap. It's very basic concepts that you're not sure your team can do based on the past.
Well, and I think as much as we talk about how much of the Ben Johnson offense we haven't seen yet, and I want to get into this with Adam Amin when he joins us for the hour in studio at 1 o'clock, it's not just that. It's how much of the Dennis Allen defense do you really thought you've seen? Like, do you really think you've seen it all? Especially when you know, like, for example, I am, in a way, thankful that the Chiefs went after Nashon Wright as much as they did when it came to same idea. Oh, you're the new guy? Or you're the one who's going to have to pick up the slack here?
Fresh meat.
Hi, welcome to Arrowhead. Patrick Mahomes is going to tell you what's going on a few times in this game. Because you have to have that. You have to have your weakest links be exposed when you're depending on that person later on. Same thing goes for what you know the Vikings have to do on Monday night.
They needed to be humbled. And here's why I say that. Because you want an accurate starting point. You don't want to believe that you're somewhere that you're not yet. And with the Bears, there was this sense that, okay, we handled the Bills well in practice, and the joint practices with the Dolphins went well, even though they apparently didn't get the memo on how physical things were about to get. And that Chiefs game on the road, Arrowhead, it's such a great measuring stick. And now Ben Johnson, Dennis Allen, the coaches can be like, oh, you see all that film we're about to show you and how bad we looked? These are all the things we have to work out if we want to be good, if we actually want to be good. You could talk a good game, but now you know what it looks like and how bad it is.
Also, 815, excellent question, because we were talking about this in our pre-show meeting, and Baby T is here and he was present for that night as well. Monday night after the Bears game, are you going to have that all-night midnight show like last year? Thanks. Text me, Steve Princeton, Illinois. Please. Poor Tyler. He was on the phone just being a therapist after we did the post-game show last year. And then it was me, Patrick Manley, and Olin. And then Pat Manley and I are just venting for at least several minutes after that show wrapped up. And poor Tyler's like, I'm sorry you feel that way. Please hold and we'll get to you.
I felt the same way as them. So I personally felt what they were going through.
You were so nice to them. I felt like you were an empathetic listener. How angry were those calls last year?
A lot of them, I can't repeat what they would say. And I'd be like, gotta tone it down. Can't be that angry.
It's a good call screener.
It's whether or not you can be angry or depressed. Because I think there's a mix, right? You go from one, like, this is hopeless, and the anxiety that comes with that, to the, I can't believe these, you fill in the blanks, played like that in this type of game. And we're talking here on Raheemi and Harris about the objectives for week one for the Chicago Bears. We're going offense and defense. We've stated ours. What are yours? Got some interesting responses here on the text line. 847, I love the micro expectations. I'm going macro. offense scores at least one more point than the defense allows. All caps, win game one.
Okay. Yes. I like the clever way it is said. I do. It's one of those where you're trying to shorten the meeting from, what, an hour to 5 minutes? Problem solved. Just win, baby.
9-4-0. Caleb will be good, guys. Chill. I don't think anybody was taking shots at Caleb. We have expectations and objectives for him to follow.
Caleb will be good, guys. Chill. Text. Okay, what does that mean for you? How do you think that happens? Because I don't think that being guys chill on the field is going to necessarily work that out. Especially when, like we said, we started going over the numbers from the last Vikings games. You know, yeah, that was the case in game one. That was a much better game for the Bears when they only lost 30-27. But it was still, you know, not the macro expectation that the other texter described.
I think also for these Bears, having a sense in that building of what the objectives are could be more important than anything else, because if you don't have a stated goal, there's no way to reach the goals. If you don't have simplistic understanding of what we are trying to do this week in preparation for this game against this specific team, this defense, this offense, then you've already lost the battle. So I know that was an issue last year with the coaching staff, everyone being on the same page. But I feel like Ben Johnson, hey, it's week one. He hasn't coached an NFL game as a head coach yet. He has already got them organized in the way you would want to have a team organized.
Well, that's it for me. As much as we have talked about that as a show, and I think you've brought it up quite a bit. Oh, well, you've got to see him head coach. You've got to see him head coach. Yeah, sure. But at the same time, you know that you've gotten a guy with a bigger resume than what was going in for at least his two predecessors. And that's the issue for me. It wasn't just Matt Eberflus as a coordinator. It was also Matt Nagy, because as we know, Nagy wasn't calling the plays in Kansas City. All of that said, it still took so long for the Ben Johnson offense to actually happen as it is realized, as we know it today, for the Lions. You know, we're going to bring this up a lot. Lions went 1-6, you know, in the first seven games of that offense coming together. And I think that is an important note when it comes to all of this, that even with a quarterback who had the pedigree of Jared Goff and a quarterback who also had the experience under a Sean McVay offense too at that point, you know, comes over from L.A., I think about that a lot in this. There is going to be a grace period. Does it mean excuses? No. What is your best friend in all of these situations then? To run the football.
Run it well. Because, you know, I've seen them run the football and not get much done, but to run it well would be objective number one. That's what Ben Johnson's offenses have been predicated on, no matter what you want to say about exactly who the personnel are, what the schemes are. If you can't run the football, you can't establish what he needs to be able to do the play action and all the other stuff.
It's not even that, though. It's also just, if you don't have enough answers yet about your football team, and that comes on the offensive side of the ball. Frankly, are the Vikings saying the same thing this week? When in doubt. Now, granted, they've got some receivers that make it, you know, a pretty sexy choice to throw the football in Justin Jefferson, for example. You know, you don't have Jordan Addison.
Love that.
So, all of that said, though, when in doubt, what am I doing? Me? Fake Coach Layla? I'm running the ball. Like, period.
I think you're doing that even if you're real Coach Layla. That's my belief.
Frankly, yes. If I'm real Coach Layla and I see that it gets me more than 3 yards a play, yeah, there's a good chance I'm doing that.
You could do the math on that. First down, every four downs, if you're yards a play.
I'm throwing some people down if I'm on the offensive line. I'm busting some heads if I get the chance. We want you to do the same. 312-644-6767. Join the conversation. We have a lot of people who've called in, a lot of texts, and a lot of people hanging out on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. This is Raheemi and Harris. If you're the coach, what is your objective for the Bears to try to beat the Vikings this week? Now that you've seen what you hope you got to see, we'll continue the conversation next on The Score.